I said, hallelujah. Come on, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good. Hallelujah. We're getting close to the time when Scott and Janine and Walt and Jackie are going to be coming back up, but they're getting hit on every angle, every way, pattern, and some of the help that was going to come to help them move back up here has kind of backed off a little bit. So we're just going to believe God for them to come through. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. God is good. God is good. Come on. He always answers prayer. He's always for us. He's always with us. He's good. I said, God is good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you got your Bibles, find the book of Ezekiel and the 13th chapter, Ezekiel 13. How many know that we have an election coming up? It's actually 65 days from today. Yeah, election day is in 65 days. And the reason that I bring that up is that we need to be praying. As individuals, as a church, we need to be praying. I can remember back in 1980, I went to an event in Washington, D.C. It was called Washington for Jesus. And we went from all over and the whole purpose was we met at the National Mall on Saturday, but Friday night we filled up RFK Stadium, football stadium, with Christians, and the whole purpose was to intercede. To intercede and repent. If my people who are called by my name, right? But there's repentance in that. And we just began a night of repentance. It was pretty incredible. And the next day we went and there was speakers and everything, but it wasn't about the speakers. It was praying for our nation. Right? And we need to come back to the place where we understand that we need to pray for our nation. How many know that our nation is in turmoil right now? Let's read this and I'll comment on that just a little bit. Verse 1, it said, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord." In other words, there are a lot of people saying, "Thus saith the Lord." But it wasn't the Lord saying it. They were saying it out of their emotion. They were saying it out of, whatever inspired them. Or they were saying what the people wanted to hear. Let's tickle some ears. Let's just, and it wasn't from God. And so he's saying, talk to them and tell them this. "Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. You have not gone up into the gap to build wall for the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord." And the verse that I really want to concentrate on is verse 5. "You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of the Lord." The reality is filling the gaps in the rocks was with mortar that was supposed to be hard cement mortar, but it was nothing. It was they dabbed it with untempered mortar. And so the whole point is that something needed to be done and you didn't do it. Something needed to be done and you didn't do it. And we're going to see in a minute. In America, it's like I see this, and this might be a little controversial, but I don't care. It's like right now in the streets, and nobody likes the rioting and nobody likes the burning and all of that, and I think that's way over the top. But there is a message that's being sent in America that we haven't got it yet. Right? As Americans, we have not got it yet. We don't know the struggle of our brothers and sisters who happen to be of a different race or a different color. Right? I mean, it's like, well, all of those people, and they're doing that, and Black Lives Matter, and that's, I know that Black Lives Matter, the organization, is Marxist at its root, but they grabbed a hold of something that was very painful to some people. And they said, we're going to grab a hold of this and cause division and all of that. Well, as a church, as a country, we need to examine and say, okay, God, where is this? Now, I'm just going to get real with you today, right? Because we need to be the ones, the church needs to be the one that turns the tide. We have to do something about this, right? We have to do something about this. And I was thinking about it and going, Lord, you know, do we really see each other as equal? Or do when we see somebody that doesn't look like us, do we automatically have preconditioned ourselves to a response? I'm not talking just black and white. I'm not talking about Hispanic. I'm just talking about in general. God, if we're supposed to love one another like you love us, why, when we look at somebody come into a store, we automatically have a reaction? Why is it, come on, that you know, somebody dresses different than us and we've already judged them on who they are? Right? And that's the crux of what, and really, honestly, I thought, well, you know, we've come a long way since the 60s. We've come a long way since the 30s. We've come a long way. And we have in one respect. But on the other respect, it's like, Lord, do something to our hearts to where we can start looking at each other without seeing our preconceived ideas. Come on. Now I'll just tell you this, and this was way back when I was a kid, and honestly, I think I was like in third grade, maybe fourth grade, and I was walking back from church or something, and back in those days, kids could walk and you know, to school, to whatever, and it wasn't a big deal. Today you wouldn't do that. But there happened to be an African American that came down the street. Honestly, I had never seen one before. Never. I might have saw him on a movie or something like that, but it so freaked me out that I crossed the street and walked up the street. Now that was just because of that I didn't know. It's not like I hated or anything like that, but I didn't know. But if we're still having some kind of reaction to people that we avoid them or whatever based on what they look like, rather than saying, God, change my heart, because I should give everybody the benefit of the doubt before I prejudge them to something else. And we haven't done it. As a nation, we haven't done it. Maybe individually we might have, or we've tried to, but we've got to be real with ourselves, and we have to be the ones that say, Lord, we've done something, and we've come a long ways, but God, there's still a mortar in the gaps that haven't been hardened. It's not the right thing yet. It's not, we haven't got it right yet. I'm not talking about politics now. I'm not talking about Democrat or Republican or anything like that. I'm not talking about the riots and all of that. But I'm saying that our hearts have to be, Lord, we need to make the change. And individually, we need to come to the place where we go, Lord, if I'm ever predisposed to an opinion before I hear the heart of a person, I need to change. Because it's not right. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Come on, thank you for your enthusiasm. And so why am I saying, man, I came to church to get the preach on? I believe God. I believe God wants to do a radical thing in the church. Why? So that the world can see how it's done right. Right? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? We can examine our own hearts and say, God, what is it in me? Have I been saying the wrong thing? Have I been listening to the wrong people? Have I not listened to what you've been saying? right? I want to come back to the place where I'm hearing what you're saying. Right? I mean, even as you see the news and see everything, I have preconceived ideas, right? But they may not be based on the truth. They may be based on fear that's unfounded. So how do we change it? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to chapter 22. Ezekiel 22. Because I was like this. I don't know any racist people, really. I don't. Right? I mean, I don't know people that are, you know, put on white robes and do all of this. But then I got to thinking about that in my own heart, and I may just be speaking to myself, but in my own heart, I was thinking, but Lord, do I truly look at everybody the same? Because if I don't, then the problem is not with that person, it's with me. I love all, everybody. I love everybody that comes here, and I'm so happy that we can, you know, just embrace everybody, and it's awesome. But the reality is, Lord, if there's more work to be done in me, work on me. Come on. If there's any more work to be done, do it in me. Verse 27. It says, her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey, to shed blood, to destroy people and get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. What's he saying? He's saying that the princes have been hearing the prophets say such and such, but the prophets weren't saying the right thing. So the princes were basing their decisions on truth that wasn't really fully the truth. Do you think that could happen today? Do you think that we're susceptible to that? The Bible says in the last day, it says that people won't entertain sound doctrine because they have itching ears. In other words, they want to hear what they want to hear, but they don't really want to hear what the Lord says. Part of the problem of repentance, like we quote, and we've quoted the whole verse of 2 Chronicles, and it's like, you know, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Well, we're praying part, but are we really humbling part? Repent of their wicked ways, and I'll heal their land. See, what I'm saying today is, and again, if it doesn't apply to you, just kick it out. But if God's beginning to deal with us about something in our lives, let's not kick it out. Let's say, Lord, I can't fix this on my own. I don't know how to change this on my own, but something needs to happen in the church. Something needs to happen, right? To where your love is more prominent in us than anywhere else in the world. That people could come and feel accepted and not feel the suspicion when you look at them. I might be just preaching to me today, but that's okay. Verse 29, it says, the people of the land have used oppression and committed robbery and mistreated the poor and the needy, and they have wrongly oppressed the stranger. For I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I don't want that to be the case. Lord, make it me. Make it us. God, is there some way, God, that we can bring unity back to the land that's not based on placating people just for the sake of making them shut up, but we're allowing real change to happen so that everybody sees this or feels the same value in the sight of God that we have. Does that make sense to you? Right? How do we do that? How do we get that done? Well, again, it starts with me. It starts with you. But standing in the gap has been used in many different circles as the place of intercession and prayer and asking God and going before God on the petition of somebody else. And I think the church at this time of election is like, God, we need unity in our country, but we're so wrapped up in our own opinion that we're not willing to listen to anybody else. And so we've already prejudged or previewed, and so, Lord, we know what your answer is. And it's like, no, how about we get on our faces before God and say, God, what is your answer? Not what is CNN's answer, or what Fox News' answer, or what, you know, whoever you listen to. They may be false prophets, not really hearing from God the full truth. It's like for us individually, it's God. How do I vote? God, I want to hear from you. And not have a preconceived idea based on what I've heard from somebody who might not be listening to you. Right? And so, Lord, let's start a revolution in us. But it's going to take people who will pray. People who will really fully examine themselves. And people who really want to hear from the Lord. I mean, how many love it when God comes to you and says, I love you, 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 sweet. And that I love that part of it. And I'm so in love with God, and I've seen Him move so many times. But the Bible says that God chastens those who He loves. What does that mean? Wake up, boy. Right? Right? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. And I'm just like everybody else. Here's what I want to do. I want to go find somebody to agree with me so I can feel right. And then I'm going to call that God. And the reality is how much time have we actually spent interceding for one another? I mean, Jesus said to pray for those who despitefully use you. And how much time of that have we done? Right? And the reality is, Lord, their deliverance is more important to me than me being right. So help me to stand in the gap and intercede. It's like when I see what's going on in Seattle or wherever it is. It's like I want to go over there and, Lord, help an army of believers go over there and begin to intercede and knock the spirits that are causing all of that. But it's like what we're doing is we're hitting the wound without getting to the core of why the wound is there. Right, so it's like, I want to pray, Lord, help us to figure this out in the Spirit. And I'm not saying that we have to grovel or whatever, but if we do, we do. It's like, Lord, we want to come to the truth of this thing so that in 30 years, in 40 years, in 50 years, we're not in the same place as we are now because real change has happened. And I believe that we need to be on our face before God interceding. Did you know that you have authority to intercede in the Spirit? Yes. That you can change nations in the Spirit? Yes. I really want and really desire that our government could start working together for real change, not just with this issue, but with a lot of different issues. Right? But it's going to take brokenness and humility for that to happen. And we need God back in everything, obviously, right? We need revival to happen in Washington, D.C. We need revival to happen on Olympia. We need revival to happen, you know, in Kitsap County. We need revival. We need revival, but it's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. And the only way that we can do that is to really seek God and say, God, I'm hearing this from such and such, or I'm hearing this, but what are you saying? What are you saying to me? And back that up with your word, and He will. But we need to be ones that stand in the gap. Go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. As you're turning there, I'll tell you that this is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but it was the story before the story. Right, we know that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But, and this is so cool, that God was going to do that, and He said, but wait a minute, we can't do that yet because we haven't talked to Abraham about it. Come on. God was saying, look, I'm going to do something on the land, but I got my man. And I got to talk to him first. Is God able to have our ear so that He can talk to us about what's to come? And are we willing to change so that we can handle that? Come on, watch this now. Verse 20. And then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because of their sin is very grave, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. And then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 within the city, would you also destroy the place? Would you not spare the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Think about that. You're talking to God. And you're talking to God, you're standing in the gap, and God has said, man, judgment is come to America. Judge is come. But wait a minute, Lord. I just want to talk to you about that. You see, when you talk about dwelling in the secret place, it's supposed to be a two-way conversation where you talk to Him and He talks to you. Right? But in that place, it's like, I want to stand in the gap for others. So, Lord, yeah, I know that person has this coming to them, but Lord, I want to stand in the gap for that. I want to intercede for that. I'm begging for Your mercy over that person. I'm begging for their life. I'm begging for their soul. I'm begging, God, that You would do something. So what comes up for us when we see a group of people? I know for some of you and some of us that if we see a certain leader in the government, whether it be Nancy Pelosi or President Trump, deciding on what side you're on, our immediate reaction is, oh. Right? And again, whatever opinion you're of, one of them is controlled by the devil. We just know it. But if we got before God and stood in the gap for them and said, Lord, I need Your opinion. I need Your Lord, I'm praying, God, that you would stand. I'm standing before them and between you and them, Lord, and I'm asking for real change to happen in them. I want to be the one that stands in the gap between heaven and earth. And I want to stand in the gap between hell and earth. And I want to be the one that come on, is able to get the heart of God to change things. You see, change has to happen in the spirit, in the heart of man, before it's going to happen in the land. And so we're entering 65 days before the election. I believe if we will, and those that are in the church this morning, and those who are watching, you know, online, that if we'll begin to say, okay, God, I'm going to spend some time with you in this election. But first of all, I need to hear from you. I'm not going to pray according to what I've heard on Daystar or on TBN or on whatever. I need to hear your heart for me to pray. And I'm going to stand in the gap for this person or for that person or come on. Because I want my heart to be changed. I want to begin to truly view people as you view them. Right, so I can drive down the street, look over, and see somebody that's dressed in, and their hair's different colors, and they got piercings going everywhere, and you just go, oh my, I'm not going to look over at them. And the reality is I want to look past all of that and look into them and be able to take them before God. Whoo, glory to God. Glory to God. I have some pretty strong leanings where I'm pretty conservative and all of that. But Lord, I want to be conservative because somebody else told me to. I want my conservatism to be in you. And I want my heart so that I can truly pray for people who might have a different opinion. So the story goes on where Abraham barters with God. 50. Well, Lord, excuse me just a minute. Maybe a few less. And Lord, if there's 10, he got it down to 10. Surely there's got to be 10 righteous. Yeah, God said if there's 10, I won't destroy it. I think that we need to come back as the church and go, Lord, we need to be your emissaries that are filling the gap with mortar that will be sustained. And Lord, help us to begin to pray over our country, not that we're praying that those who are evil get theirs, but God, that you would redeem even them because the righteous are standing in the gap. Come on. Is anybody about that? I'm about that. I'm about that. Come on. Glory to God. Go to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32. Again, in our prayer life, in what we're praying for, it's time for us to really begin to get serious about praying for our country in a way that can really put... You know, we had Kim here, and she talked about putting our angels to work. And I believe that there's angels all around us. I believe that we are ambassadors for Christ. I believe that I have power to pray in the name of Jesus. But I want my prayers to be effective. I want to see real change. Real, real, real change. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people indeed is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. In other words, all these people are messed up. I'm done dealing with them. It's over. But you I like. You I'll take care of. And most of us say, yeah, that's right. Bless God, I'm the one. Verse 11 says, then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. In other words, God spoke something to him and he said, Lord, I'm going to stand in the gap right here. I believe God was showing him his heart. And he said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with a great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them off of the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and all of the land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit forever. So the Lord relented from the harm to which he would do to his people. Here's what I'm saying. The church needs to take its place and begin to stand in the gap for those whose minds have been blinded to the truth and are acting outside of the will of God and say, Lord, don't destroy them. God, I'm praying. I know how it's all going to turn out, but long as I'm here, God, I want to stand in the gap for as many people as I can. I want to be one, Lord, that touches the throne of heaven with intercession, and I can make a change in my children's life, in my nation's life, how many have a relative or two that you just think is gone? They're out there and they're thinking and they're just out there. They're beyond hope. Right? Now, how many of you have ever looked at you're looking really saintly this morning. But all of you have somebody like that in your mind when I said that. And your impression is, oh, God, unless something happens. They need to come to Jesus. They need a come to Jesus moment. And the reality is they do. But who's standing in the gap for them? Is it you? Is it me? Or are we just looking at them through the eyes that sees them as they are instead of seeing them as they can be? Come on. Our nation needs to be healed. Our land needs to be healed. And I'm going to say this, okay, so we need to embrace all cultures and quit trying to make cultures line up with our culture. Now, what I mean by that, I'm not saying that we need to become a nation of rules that aren't glorifying to God, but what I'm saying is that we need to bring Jesus into the culture. Quit trying to change the culture and allow Jesus to change the hearts. Come on. Now, I'm not just talking, really, I'm really not talking even about black and white, but we can talk about that. If I took you all out of here, well, we're kind of wild, so we'd probably fit in. But I took you into a black church. Our first impression, whoa. Had a friend, went to a church in Washington, D.C. It was an all-black church. And the music started, right? And here comes, they had this like a balcony with just a thin rail that came down, kind of sloped down. And here comes every kind of colorful costume and, you know, thing. And they're dancing and they're and he's going, what's going on here? This is not right. This is not reverent before God because we don't worship that way. And what I'm saying is that has nothing to do with worship, how we worship. It has to do with our hearts. Right? And as long as our eyes are on Jesus. So why am I saying, why am I bringing that up? Because we need to bring people together somehow and get out of our rut and allow God to use other people and us embrace their heart for God rather than trying to put them in the box that we're trying to stuff them in. How do we do that? We say, Lord, change me. Help enlarge my heart because, God, I want to be used to be one that's putting the correct mortar in so that the enemy can't steal our land anymore. Everybody in America, I believe this with all my heart, everybody in America wants to be free. And we are free. But not everybody feels free. Not everybody feels like they can be free. Now, I've heard this argument, and I think, you know, and I'm going to tell you that I know that all the answers because I don't know any answers. But that's where, are we going to stand in the gap to find some? You know, are we going to pray and find some? I hope my heart is coming across. This is hard this morning for me. But because it's self-reflective at the same time. It's like, okay, God, how in the world can we get that to where we don't have a preconceived judgment on somebody else based on our view of things? I remember when we were in Uganda, it was really quite interesting. And I've had this experience a couple of different places. But what was interesting is that I stuck out like a sore thumb. A, because I'm tall. They have tall people there too. B, I've got red hair. But C, I'm pasty white. Bishop Frank said, this is our brother Bruce. He hasn't got out in the sun enough. You know? But how can we get to the place where we see each other beyond the labels that we put on each other? And that's what we're praying. That's the change that I want to see. That's the change that I want to prepare. Now look, I'm not going against the gospel. Every man needs to come to Jesus. Those who don't know Jesus need to come to Jesus. Glory to God. But we've got to recognize that and pray, Lord, how much of my Jesus is a Western culture Jesus that doesn't really, you know, fully envelop the simplicity of the gospel? Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say go into all the world and change the culture. Now, I'm not talking about sin. If there's sin, it needs to be changed, but that comes from a heart first. We can't... Oh, man, I hope you're getting this. See, the enemy's trying to come in and destroy our nation. He's coming in, he's trying to destroy it, and he's using what we have against one another to do it. And we're looking at it sometimes like saying, well, if they'd only change, then things would get right. And what that does is it leaves us powerless to do anything about it. But if we say, if I can change, God, if I can be the one that changes and begins to pray that change not only into me, but my view of it will change the way I look at others, then maybe we can really do something but significant. Got 65 days till the election, and I just want God to have a revival to come to America, but not necessarily the way that I see it. And I don't want to just spout off what I heard some other prophet say, some other voice say. God, what are you saying? Send that person in. But prayer can change things, right? And we're commanded in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it said, pray for all those who have authority over you and intercede on their behalf. It's up to us to begin to pray, but pray from a sincere heart, with a heart that's after what God wants for our nation rather than what we want for our nation. But let me tell you how effective prayer is, and I'm going to close in a couple of minutes, but how effective prayer is with an enemy onslaught. In World War II, everybody remember the stories of World War II? Before I was alive, right? But there was a time, and I'm going to tell you about two different battles that happened and what changed those battles. Has anybody ever heard of the Battle of Dunkirk? Yeah. A few of you. Well, let me just, for the rest of you, here's what happened is that the Allied armies were pressing into Europe, but the Nazi armies had a counter offensive, and they drove them all the way to the beaches at Dunkirk. And so their armies, and there was like 350,000 men sitting on that beach, trapped on that beach with no relief to come and get them off. And so what happened was is that a Churchill found a group of people and he said, we need you to pray because there's no way that we can make this happen. Now watch this. Those people began to pray. And what happened was is there were some weather fronts that came in that absolutely delayed the enemy from coming in and, you know, wiping out those people or taking them prisoner. And at the same time, as soon as that lifted, there was a flotilla of, I mean, there were fishermen, any kind of boat that could cross the channel came and they rescued those 350 men. It was an impossible situation, but the prayer saved the day at Dunkirk. Come on. There's another instance that happened in the battle over, the air battle over supremacy over England is that the Nazi Air Force outnumbered the British Air Force 4-1. 4-1. That's not very good odds. What happened is a man by the name of Rees Howell, and if you've ever read his book, it's an incredible book on intercessory prayer. He got together with a group of people, and they began to pray, and they began to pray, and they began to pray, and they began to intercede, and they began to seek God for this land and for their land, to save their land. And what happened was is that that was completely turned around, and the Allies got air supremacy. But it wasn't because, watch this, it was because that God used great military men and women, but more, it was that God used military warriors that were filling the gap. And who can God call upon today, this hour, to fill the gap? Can he count on me? I'm not sure. Because I haven't been as consistent in intercession for the real problem as I have been for the symptoms. But we can change that. Come on. This morning, we can change that. We are the people of God. We have the Word of God. We can stand in authority. We are called the children of God. We're friends with God. Jesus said, if you pray in my name and ask God for anything, he would do it, that his Father would be glorified. See, that's who we're talking about. That's why I'm enlisting you to come with me, especially in the next couple of months, for us to begin to pray and intercede for our nation. And begin to ask God what His Word is for what's going on, rather than listening to somebody else and just regurgitating what they're saying. Does that make sense to you? I know this isn't normal. This isn't normally how I preach or what I preach on. But I felt stirred in my heart today that He wants some people who will stand in the gap, who will really pray according to His will and begin to ask Him again for this land. I'm not willing to just give up and say, well, it's all over. We're going to lose our nation. What I want to pray is, God, save the people of our nation. Let's pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we humble ourselves before you. We ask you, God, to just come in and change our hearts. And Lord, change our night seasons. And as we're praying for people, God, help us to see your heart for them. If we have been a part of, knowingly or even unknowingly, any part of racism or things that divide because of our preconceived conclusions, God, we ask for your forgiveness. Change our heart, O God. Change our heart because we want to be more like you. We declare over this nation that it was declared and prophesied and absolutely dedicated to the furtherance of the gospel. And from the shores of this land, your gospel has been preached throughout the world. And God, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. But Lord, we're not praying for the last generation or even the next generation. We're praying for our generation. And we're praying, Lord, that you would equip us and use us and wake us up in the middle of the night. Give us a burden for people again, God, because we want to be those people that are standing and putting the correct mortar in the walls. Father, we thank you for your Spirit this morning. Thank you for change that's happening this morning. Father, if there be anybody that's listening to me who doesn't know you, I pray, God, that they would feel your love this morning. And Father, that they would give their hearts to you. And Lord, I'm asking for radical change in us so that we can become more effective for you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, today's your day. Just come to Him and just say, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned and I need somebody to take my place, to pay the price for my sins. Forgive me of my sins, but I realize that Jesus is the Messiah and I take Him as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're saved. And if you have any questions, please get a hold of us. We love you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.